Council meeting for Tuesday, June 26, 2018, 9 a.m. is hereby called to order. I have no changes to make to the agenda this morning. Are there any changes or amendments to the agenda this morning? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda as circulated would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Moving on to 3.0, we have under 3.1, a presentation by Second Story Women's Center, Emma Sutherland. I wonder if Emma will come forward, please.
So my name is Emma, and I'm here from Second Story Women's Center in Lunenburg to tell you a little bit about a program we run every summer for girls between the ages of 9 and 12. So I put together a video last summer just to show you a little bit about what we were up to, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it after. All right, so that was our video I put together last summer. So Girl Talk, we do all over the South Shore. I run 7 camps and they last for 4 days. We were in New Germany last summer, we were in Bridgewater, Hebbville, Lunenburg, and we were in Liverpool. So I wanted to come by and tell you a little bit about it because we're doing it in your community. So it runs for 4 days. It's kind of like a school day, but I sell it to the girls by saying instead of learning and doing homework, we're going to make crafts and we're going to play some games. But the important part about the camp is that every day we have a discussion with the girls about an issue that's relevant to them at their age. So we talk about body image and the media and Photoshop and advertisements and magazines. We talk about self-esteem and confidence. We talk about healthy relationships with their parents and with their peers and with crushes as they start to navigate romantic relationships. We talk a little bit about puberty. It's not too scary, but it's really important for them at that age. And it's a really, it's a fantastic program because I think we really bridge the gap between what they're learning at home and what they're learning in school. And it's a positive, safe space. I'm the oldest girl there, and I'm 20 years old, so I can relate a lot to what they're going through, and so it's a really important program, and we get to offer it to them for free. So I thought I would, I don't know if anybody has any questions about it.
Yes, counselors, any have questions or comments? Counselor Kelly?
So you say you have 80 enrolled so far, so do you have like a maximum? Like, can people register for it now, like for Liverpool? Like, do you have the dates and all of that?
Yeah, well, actually, the response to the Liverpool camp was overwhelming, and it filled up in like 2 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we take 12 girls at each camp,
okay.
So that a full enrollment is 84 in the summer. Yeah.
Okay, so you're full now in the summer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deputy Member Brown?
Well, Emma, I have to tell you, if my granddaughter was in that video, and I was rather surprised. I knew she went to these camps, but I didn't realize it was associated with your organization, so that's great. And it certainly has been a personal development for Katie. She's very quiet, and, you know, not shy, but, you know, quiet. And she has come a long way with the support of these groups and with the support of the school that she's in. They have their own little times together with groups. And now she's becoming the leader of the group and helping others. So this type of experience has been a really benefit for her. Thank you so much for that. The question is, how do they know about this program? How do the young people learn about it?
The biggest advertising I do is when I come to the center in late May, I book a visit with almost every single school in the South Shore. So I go and I ask the guidance counselor to have me come in and speak to all the girls between grades 4 and 6. And so I get to have a conversation with them directly about the camp and give them a pamphlet. We found that to be the most successful way.
And they certainly have been promoting it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other counselor? Counselor Fairley?
Great presentation, and I really like the program a lot, so thank you for that. Just a question. Like, you have the camp. They're able to learn a lot of these things. Is there a follow-up? Is there something in the schools? Is there a program during the winter for them to kind of continue to learn, or is it just... Is that the challenge for you?
My supervisor, Lee Hyde, does a program in several of the schools on the South Shore called Express Yourself.
Okay.
And so that is a follow-up program for the girls of the same age, and I think it was offered for girls a little bit older as well with some slightly different content. I don't know that that's been held in Liverpool, but it would definitely be something to explore if you're interested. Lee Hyde. Yeah, I have a couple if anybody is interested in the contact information and things like that. Yeah.
Any other counselor? Counselor Fancy?
Few little things here. I saw the United Way come up on the way. So it must be one of your sponsors to this, is it? To help support?
Yeah, so because the camp is free, we run on grant money and support from the community and from Canada Summer Jobs. So the United Way is the largest funder, and this is the 10th year they've supported us.
Now, you have several down in the Bridgewater area, and maybe I should have left these off to my gentlemen to the left, but is there such a thing as to have another camp out in the Greenfield, the Caledonia area? Because a lot of the kids wouldn't come in from there, and the needs are still the same, and you know, if there's a further location, or are you booked up?
Yeah, so I actually got a message this summer about a parent expressing interest in us being in Caledonia. I didn't know there was an interest out there, so it may not be an option this summer, but 100% I'm going to look into it next summer. Yeah.
Councilor Johnson?
So your camp is how many consecutive days, consecutive weeks, more than just one time shot?
Yeah, so I do the same camp 7 times for, and they're 4 days each.
Okay,
yeah.
That was my question. The other part was, are you familiar with the I Am That Girl program, and does what you do link? Because I think the age groups are right around the same age group.
No, I'm not familiar with that program, no.
I know that Julie Ramey runs that over here in North
Carolina. Okay.
So,
Councilor Fisk?
Very good presentation. Just want to carry on the conversation with Councilor Fancy was saying. I come from the Greenfield area, and we have a rec center there. People there you can contact, but people can contact us.
Absolutely. Yes, please.
Quite a few people there.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Thank you very much, Emma, for the presentation.
Thank you for having me. Is anybody interested in one of these?
Please.
Yeah.
Sutherland. Yeah. Anybody else interested in that?
Yeah. Sutherland. My grandmother's name is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will move on to 3.2, Queens Rails and Trails Association presentation. I've got Brian Hatt and his fellow colleagues to come forward.
Vertically challenged.
Crooked.
What was it?
You're
fix this, but we just looked at
Christine may surprise us, she may fix it rather quickly.
If we looked at it down the hall, must be this. Anyways, your worship, this and counselors, thanks for having us out to update you on the our Trestle Trail project. Have this information on the system here. I have to apologize first. I joined the Marin Center and I don't have a shirt that I can wear a tie. I guess I'm a grown boy. So I had to go with this. So my apologies for not wearing a tie anyway. So I guess we'll just wait for a few minutes and see what she comes up with.
Let's give Christine a few seconds.
Great.
Put all of your presentation in order for you, make it easier, I expect.
Yeah. Oh, certainly will. Let's try to explain all this.
The Trails Coordinator for the District of Lunenburg. The last 3 years I was seconded by the province of Nova Scotia through Communities, Culture and Heritage to work part-time with community groups in the Socia region. Well, that secondment has ended, but as a result we've had some really good results from a study that we did, a gap sort of presentation or a gap study that we did of different challenges and successes that groups developing and managing trails along the South Shore have come up with. So, but what we've created as part of that is this beautiful regional map that gets updated on a regular basis as groups proceed with their work. I don't know if any of you have seen the regional map in the past for the South Shore region. It runs from Chester to Yarmouth. Has anybody here seen it? Okay, well, just quickly, the legend indicates the colors indicate different things. So the green would be a completed trail that's being managed, and it's managed as a shared use trail. The blue sections here in the District of Lunenburg, Region of Queens, Shelburne County, that means that those pieces are actually in planning right now. That means they're working with the province of Nova Scotia to get a letter of authority, or they're working with private landowners to get access over to property through a landowner agreement. And the red sections are deemed undeveloped. Not yet developed. There's a few sections here from Bog Road to Hunts Point. There's a piece down, out heading out on the rail line, I need my glasses, sorry, from around Allendale down to Lockport, and a piece around Gunning Cove in out to Port Clyde in Shelburne County. But as you can see, there's a planning piece being developed now by the trail group that's in this area to bypass sections of that rail line. So the point of this map is just to give anybody who's looking at it, were you able to bring it up yet? Okay, the point of this map is to give everybody who looks at it a sense of where we fit in the bigger picture, you know? And I think that's really important, not just working within our own little silos, which we tend to do. We take our ball and we develop it and we work with it. But in fact, what this does is it gives us a greater picture of where we fit in the South Shore region. And as you can see, we're doing fantastic in the South Shore region for trails. Really fantastic. And we have a number of community groups, municipalities, and user groups as well that are looking at developing sections of trail that will create a whole linking trail from Yarmouth to Chester, of course, well and beyond, right into Halifax. That trail is complete. It's part of the Rum Runners Trail System, which is a destination trail that was developed along the rail line, partnering with all of the other community groups that have developed and managed trail. They've created a coalition and created a destination trail called the Rum Runners Trail. If you get an opportunity, you should certainly check that one out, or I can provide information that anybody would like to see. So what this looks like effectively is basically from Yarmouth County all the way down to Halifax, there's activity, there's trail activity A lot of this activity is being done by volunteers, groups like the Queens Rails to Trails, but there's other activity taking place. Here in Shelburne County, we have the town of Shelburne that's involved with their trail project there that they're currently working on, looking at expanding it. And the region of, or the Shelburne municipality, they also have a couple of small trail sections that they manage as well. Sometimes in partner with one of them specifically, in partnership with the Woodlands Multi-Use Trail Association. How can I forget that group? For them. So there has been some talk in the past when I first started my secondment 3 years ago to looking at expanding or creating a new destination trail from Yarmouth out to Halifax and making that one big long section, or to connect up with the Rum Runners Trail. So we can look at the possibility of having tourism travel from the come across on the Yarmouth Ferry to actually create a trail route or an alternative transportation route that they can take when they get off the ferry. Does anybody have any questions about the regional trail?
Councilor Fraser?
Yes. Maybe it's just being naive, but our undeveloped trails, of course, from Liverpool to Somerville, it's undeveloped in because of it isn't anything that we're looking at, that we're not in progress. It's up ahead, it says in planning, so that means that we're dead there, or is there...
I'm so glad you asked that question, yeah. Because in a couple of weeks, we're hoping that that's going to change to blue. The Queens Rails to Trails Association has made a formal request to the province to reinstate the letter of authority for that section of trail, much like they did in the Somerville Beach area to create that beautiful little walking trail down there. So they're in a couple of weeks, that's going to change. That's why I said this map is always evolving. But I don't feel confident changing that to a blue until I have the go-ahead from the province, who is the landowner.
And they will do that? Is it you're hoping for, or is it...
It's part of the process that they have to go through to ask for that letter of authority. There's no sense that they would not give the letter of authority. They know that their request is made. All indications are that they're willing to give the letter of authority pending another public review. So there will be another public meeting coming up that Brian will be speaking of likely later in his presentation. So this is good news. It's actually on the computer.
Yeah, now we can just get to that.
Laura, how does the inland trails link to the Rum Runner Trail along the shore? Is there any coalition between the two at all? Or
could you reference what inland trails you might be referring to?
Well, like the Field Mines Trail.
Oh, up through here, yes, up in North Queens. Has everybody had an opportunity to get up and check out that trail work up there yet? It's becoming very, very popular, especially we find, not that it's surprising, but it's pleasantly surprising when you know that, when you see that the vast numbers is women, particularly, women over a certain age, over the age of 50, they tend to, that's been an increase in use from that user group, which is really interesting because, you know, we know that it's safe, they know that it's accessible. And they've been using it with getting together some informal walking groups. And there's even a small group of women who are ATVers, so they ATV together just on that little section there, and they quite enjoy it. So this trail up here, at some point down the road, it provides an opportunity to connect down through in this area here. There is some work being done by the Queens ATV Association, as you know, to go up past the lakes to have this route up here. One bite at a time, like we all eat our elephants. So what they're hoping to do at some point is to create a lovely loop through the region of Queens that would be accessible to trail users and allow opportunities to access to Crown lands and opportunities to access properties that people, your average population, doesn't actually get to enjoy right now.
Thank you, Laura. We have our technical difficulties resolved, and Brian, would you like to continue with your presentation?
Sure. Thanks, Laura. did a better job on that than I could have done anyway, so that worked out just fine. I'm here representing the Queens Rails to Trails group, and we've been here before, but just wanted to bring you up to date with what's happening in Queens. This, I gave you a sheet each to you can look at, shows the progress in just Queens, and in particular in Liverpool, thanks to the region for doing some work on the trail. It meets up with the bridge there, but outside of Liverpool is quite a bit of activity. And that gives you an idea of what's being done. I guess we can start from the east side and go through, but Dwight Crowe's Memorial Trail that runs from the county line through to Brooklyn is well used, very well used actually. We have to do maintenance almost yearly on it to keep it up to standard. And then we've working on optional options to get to the bridge in Liverpool and from the bridge in Liverpool to Hunts Point. And some of it's the use of the 103, which needs to be approved. So that's still up in the air, but we've got applications in applying for the use of it. And still a question mark is to get across Broad River. And we've got some ideas on that, but that's all in the works. So today is regarding the bridge, which is the most important link for our trail. So I've given an update on the 25th of April, and basically this is the big picture that Laura went over already. And so we needed to do, we set a priority on the bridge to get a review done and in October 17, you gave me permission to go ahead with that, so we did. We formed partnership with the region and the provincial government to fund the review or assessment, and then we went into a formal process and we decided that CBCL Limited of Halifax would be the engineering group that would assess the bridge. And basically, we asked them to do the overall bridge, the steel, the wood, below the waterline, above the waterline, do a visual inspection with divers, and then we asked for recommendations on immediate short-term maintenance and long-term maintenance and the costing for that repair. Okay, so we come up, they deliver what we asked, immediate recommendations to the structure that would be required to open. And the second was short term over a 5-year period recommendations of what would need to be repaired, and then a medium term, which is a 5 to 10 year repair schedule. So once we do the immediate repairs, that means we can open the bridge again. And we expect this phase, this is a projected cost by the engineering firm, so it may not be that much, it might be less, but they projected a cost of $490,000, which includes a 30% contingency. So so we're still seeking funding for this first phase to open the bridge. And to date, we have confirmation from the province that they'll provide $150,000. And we've got confirmation from the Murphy Foundation for $250,000, which extends $250,000 for the first, second, and third year. So it's actually $750,000.
Wow.
We have a shortfall of about $80,000 in the first year to repair the bridge. So I'd like to thank everyone that's helped us out with that, especially Laura and the provincial government, Debbie Smith. And Debbie Smith is here also with Laura, and she's the South Shore Regional Representative for Communities, Culture, and Heritage, Debbie Smith. Laura, you already introduced yourself, right?
I did, yes.
Okay. And this will give you an idea of the scope of the work. These are the two things that needs to be repaired. Pier 1, this is, okay, it's the north end of the bridge. It's the west side of the pier. That's the view you've got in the picture on your left. You can see that 60% of it roughly is missing. And on the right photo is the south abutment, which would be the main street end of the bridge. And you can see the bottom of that is pretty well gone. So those are the two major parts of the first year repair. There's some other repairs, and below that shows you the support structure for the bridge, so you get an idea of what's missing. Can you see that?
No.
And so that, I don't know how, show you the second line there, or the lowest line here. There's a little shelf there, and you can just see it at just about at the water line there on the left picture. And I'm led to believe by the engineering firm that may be used for the reconstruction or repair, that part there. And that's still, I guess, intact. So those are the two main things that needs to be repaired. There's some other, make up the repair list for the first year. There's that abutment and the walls, wing walls, and pier number one. And then there's some steel underneath that's rusted that needs to be repaired, and 5% of the wooden part of the structure. And of course the electrical, I guess it's missing now, put one way, I guess. Anyways, so we're looking for funding partnerships to carry out the work this year. We can get the bridge open. Then after this year, we need to do the following repairs. This is a 5-year plan, and the structure, the steel, more major work will have to be done to the structure, and the major expense is in the piers 2, 3, 4, and 5, and to save money, to make it cheaper, we'd have to do those at one time. Once we get them out there repairing it, they'll do all four of them. And then there's 10% of the ties has to be repaired, some decking, and further inspection. All these plans have 30% built in. So total there is $950,000. And that's not in 1 year, that's over 5 years. And then there's the long term, the 10-year to finish it off, and some more decking and railing, some more steel work, and an inspection, and some possible concrete repairs. And that should bring it back to a new condition. And then, of course, there'd be regular maintenance from that point on, that you do on any bridge. So we're getting close to $1.5 million. Okay, so what's up next? Well, overall, the funding is 60% there already. And we've still got some more applications to make over the next 5 years. And 84% of phase one, which is the repairs needed to open, are there already. So what's next? The community consultation, which is planned for tomorrow evening at the Amera Center. We've put out messages and I did a radio interview, and it's on the our website, and hopefully everyone that has interest in the project will show up and give us their opinions.
What time, Brian?
7 o'clock at the community room at the Amera Center, Queens Place. We need to do the immediate repairs to open the bridge. And then we have to work on a plan to move the expenses for the five-year plan over the 5 years, and prepare work for the work plan for the 10-year, which is the long term, for the next 5 years after that. So basically that's what we're prepared to do, and I neglected to introduce Brian Dexter. He's our treasurer. A little late, but he's here to answer some questions also. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them, or I'm pretty sure I can get the answers from the back.
Thank you, Brian. Councillor Johnson?
Brian, so if you do the year one repair, then you can open the trail?
Yes.
Open the bridge?
Open the bridge.
And then all the subsequent years, it's just going to be work as the trail remains open?
Well, unless the particular repair demands that you close it temporarily.
Oh,
yes, it will stay open from that point on if we follow through with our plan, yes.
But if we don't, then we conceivably do year one, open it, and then because you can't do year 2 to 10, it will be closed again.
It eventually will be closed, yes, because it won't pass the certification that's needed.
Yeah.
Finances, is it feasible to say that the finances the first year it's available to get it going?
We're pretty much there, I believe. I'm not sure the exact percentage that we have.
84%.
84%. 84% you need?
No.
We have 84%. We're in need of between 80,000 and 90,000 of the total.
Ryan, I got to say,
you've done
your homework. You're doing well.
Thank you. Councillor Kelly?
So I just wanted to understand in the first, and by the way, like, I think you guys are doing an amazing job. Like, this is going to be really exciting to a lot of people, especially tomorrow night, so the meeting goes really well. When it opens, well, when you raise the $80,000 to get the money for the first, and can you start, like,
go ahead with the repairs and get this thing open right as soon as we can. That's what we're looking for.
Now, when you say open the bridge, will it be open to multi-use traffic?
Yeah, it will be open to multi-use, although there won't be any multi-use, but it would be open for that, yeah, because there's no trail.
There's nowhere for the ATVs to go, but bicycles, yeah. Walkers?
Yeah, everything, yeah.
So, a few things for me. This report, had we had this when we first started this process back in 2013, it would have been so much clearer to defend this, because we can clearly see that first pillar that, you know, it's unsafe. We were, you know, as I always say, we had someone go out in a boat and give us, you know, something that we had to defend and make a decision on, without the background to go with it. So Thank you for actually giving us a report that really, really explains it so we can go out to the public and make them understand. Because when you see that first one of the first pillar, you do realize how dangerous it is and how it could be. So it's kind of a backup for the earlier decision. And can you remind me again how much that report was?
For the first year?
For this engineer report that we're seeing today.
Oh, we've paid, I think it was $17,000 for this report.
Okay. So that was the challenge before was that, you know,
that's
we were told
exact.
That it was going to be $200,000 and nobody wanted to move forward. So I was like, throw that in there. A couple questions. How about the electrical? You mentioned something about the electrical. What's that?
Apparently a lot of it is missing. I don't know if it's all air. I don't know what would have happened to it. I could guess it was stolen.
So it's just gone?
Yeah.
So the lights that are up there would have no power to them now?
Right.
Oh.
It may have been used copper wire, I'm guessing. That would have been.
That's interesting.
Nova Scotia Power encounters that issue quite frequently.
Yeah.
It's not an unknown.
I don't think all the wire would be missing, but crucial parts, and that means that it would have to be replaced. You just can't twist it together.
And did we know about this before, or has that just come up when you did the report?
I didn't know it was missing.
Another little surprise for me.
Yeah, 15,000.
And just to speak about the amount that you're asking for, you know, I always felt that if we would have done regular maintenance on it over the years, we wouldn't be sitting around this table right now listening to this, because bridges need to be maintained, and so it's a very small amount that you're asking for compared to, you know, the overall picture. But we would have spent that amount with maintenance over the years. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Councilor Fancy.
Yeah, Brian, I'm glad you guys are bringing forward this report and how you're going. Again, it's when we had to look at this a few years ago, it was over 200,000 just to get a report done or get studies done or testing, I should say. It wasn't really an option because it would have, because you didn't even know if you're going to be able to use the bridge after you might have had the bridge had to be torn down. So you folks stepped up to the plate and did something that was much needed. It was interesting to see the pictures of the water line. And, you know, in living in Milton, you know, you see it every once in a while when the water gets really low, when it gets down below where it's all decayed, it looks almost new. From that water line down, it looks, everything is, it's just at the area where the tide goes back and forth. It seems to, that's eroded it. So it's got a solid base to work from. If you don't have solid base, you're in trouble. So that's interesting. So you say, if and when you get the funding, I just like to say it that way.
Yeah.
If you get that $80,000 to $90,000, whatever is required to be able to do that, or a commitment from someone, that you could start the work straight away, or is there a process that has to go through, or what?
We'd have to put out tender type documents and try to get the best deal and go from there, but it won't take long once we confirm we've got the funding. Like, we're only talking weeks to get that done. And
then
once we decide, then getting working right away.
And the other thing, when we talked about the, because you had a 5-year and a 10-year program, the 1 to 5 years, that's $950,000 to be able to get the rest of it completed. But we're talking about, that's just for information only at this particular time. And then the 10-year of the $130,000 to do all the extra things that need to be done. Is that all? One of them is the 5, one's the 10. Is that all going to be combined together? I mean, like, is it 5 years to do this part, and then another 10 years after that to get the others done, or is that going to be the 950 plus the 130?
Well, I expect the 5-year plan. You have to have a really close look at that, because the major part of that has to be done in 1 year, or by one company under one contract, so that they don't have to take all the gear out and bring it back to do another one. So with the Murphy Foundation, they're supplying $250,000 each year for 3 years. So if we're going to take advantage of that, we have to get going and try to get that $250,000 covered in 3 years. Or I assume we could ask for an extension, but I don't know where they'd be.
You have to sell by what you know.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Johnson, I have two quick questions. The first one is the study for $17,000. That was commissioned by the region.
So the region in partnership with the provincial government again?
Okay.
Yeah.
So how much was the region?
$5,000, I believe.
Okay. And the other part is we're at 84% with an $80,000 shortfall in year one. Where are we at with the overall picture? Because anywhere along that line, if we lose funding, then the trail's closed again. So what percentage of the entire project do you have secured?
I just have that right here figured out for you. How do you reverse this system? 84 for year one, 64 for overall for the 10 year, for the whole cost, the entire cost. It's in here. I just don't reverse it. That's 60% of the 1.5 million.
60% you got shortfall.
Yeah.
40%. Okay, thanks, Brian.
Deputy Member Files?
Brian, as you know, we're very appreciative of your interest and in your association with partnerships with anyone in the community. I read the report from CDCL, and I was rather impressed with the way it was written, so that it was a real understanding, the table one, table two, table three, and the actual description and comments that they made, and I was rather surprised that it wasn't all doom and gloom about the bridge. You know, there were some positives about it. It wasn't as deteriorated. The steel structure is there, and the integrity of that is in place with some, you know, improvements over the years, but that was one of the things that really sold me on the project anyway. But understanding it from that perspective was really good for me. So thanks to them for writing a report that we could understand it in layman's terms, which is good. Sometimes you get something overwhelming, you can't understand it. And I think the public should have copies of this as well. They'll have the evening service provided. But at your public meeting, it would be nice for them to have copies of that, for them to get an understanding.
Well, as it happens, the gentleman the engineer that did this report is going to be on site tomorrow evening to explain the whole assessment and answer any questions regarding the engineering portion. So it'd be good to have him there. He can answer questions for sure.
Councilor Kelly?
So in your best guess or your
I'm hoping that our timeline says it's going to be open this fall.
Brian, would you explain whether the figures that are in this report include HST or if that is a separate issue?
Include HST.
Do the estimates include or exclude HST?
Oh, that's taxes in. That's the overall cost, and that I'm hoping is on the high side of things. And that, of course, the 30% is built in for that also.
Any other questions of councillors? On behalf of council, I would like to thank you for your efforts in this. It's certainly a much better price on your engineering study than the Legion of Queens could obtain, and that is the benefit of partnering with nonprofit societies in that you can extract better figures from those that are professionals to do that for. What we will do today, we will pass on this information to staff for their advisement and future recommendation to council, and certainly we're very pleased that we're on the road to hopefully opening the position.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hopefully you might make it to the meeting tomorrow evening. Thanks again.
So we will continue with our agenda. We move on to 4.0, tabling up petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Under 4.0, already handled that. 5.0, public question, comment session. Please state your name, your address, and limit your comments or questions to 5 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. John Robertson, from the community middle school. That presentation was very good, very encouraging, compared to the people that were a couple of years ago. And as I understand, your presentation purpose here, the Merchant Foundation was providing productivity for the first 8 years of the 3 year period. So,
that would be my understanding from the presentation.
That's what I would be. So that's the
the state council for the timely manner in which this has been brought forward for discussion by council. And we are the only surviving Legion in this county, and we would like to be able to continue to provide the services to the community in our absence as we are providing while we are actually here. About 3 years ago, there was a request from our district loan commander that Legion seriously consider their properties and buildings which they have. So what would happen to them if you had to close the doors tomorrow? And so the idea was to start preparing and planning and put in place a plan that in the event that you couldn't keep going, because as you know, you can have a large membership, but if you don't have lean hands, then nothing happens. And we have had to terminate a lot of the Legion projects that we have had for our youth simply because we can't get the people that we need in order to do it. We operated the Call to Remembrance program for almost 14 years and was one of the few provinces in Canada that kept that going. But then we ran into a situation where the teachers no longer resided in the communities in which they taught, and as such there was nobody to mentor students, and many of them showed up for the competitions with what they were able to read on the bus or in the car given to the competition. And as a result, they lost interest because they couldn't answer questions. And so then the school decided that no sense in us going there. We can't compete with these other ones if they have the resident teachers, etc. Also, our involvement with Little League baseball and this sort of thing had to go by the wayside because there was those services were terminated. So we were asking for your support in approving this request so that we can continue and we don't have to rely on outside. We will continue to do everything that we can to keep the branch going as long as we can. We have the maintenance program in place and we have reserves in order to keep that going, and we hope to add to those reserves as we go, so that any major items are substantially provided for. And we hope to be able that if the need arises, that we can turn the building over in good condition so that it can continue to be an asset to the community. So therefore, asking favorable consideration by council to let us do what we have been doing in the same manner that we have been doing, with the exception that somebody else will own the building and be providing those programs, because the municipality has resources that we don't have, and as a result, we would appreciate it that you would accept our proposal and allow us to